This is the Auntie Anne Brain Tumors Talk Show. It's a show full of informative chat and inspirational messages. The Auntie Anne Brain Tumors Talk Show on podcast.
I hope I get your name right, Melinda. It's Dabinigno.
Dabinigno. Dabinigno.
Oh, God.
That was close.
I'm so sorry.
Hello, Claire.
What was your relationship to having a brain tumour?
I had meningioma posterior fossa, but it was at the back of the head on the right-hand side. I have lost some skull. I've got a hole in my head. But
there's a song about that, isn't there? Okay, so it was
2007.
You were diagnosed.
What happened, friends, said I was walking like I was drunk. I was walking to one side. I had no pre-warning. I just didn't feel too good. I just didn't feel right. And it steadily got worse and I started to get really violent headaches. And I got a blurring in my right eye. And originally my first thought was migraines, because my mum had migraines. It's really sad now, but I thought, oh my goodness, I can't eat chocolate. That was the first thing that went through my mind. Came home and I was sick in the fireplace, which was lovely. My husband said, I think we need to go to hospital and check you out. I just wasn't myself. So he carted me off to St. Thomas's A&E. They looked at me and told me it was migraines and sent me home. I can't really remember much after that. I think I blacked out and my husband called an ambulance and they took me to St. George's, which is where they found that I had hydrocephalus. And they gave me an MRI, found the tumour, did emergency surgery to remove the hydrocephalus swelling. And a week later, I was admitted into St. George's and they removed 80% of the tumour. That's another story, which I'll tell you. So that's how it started, basically. I remember coming to, because obviously I didn't know I was being rushed into hospital. This was all, it was done so quickly. I just woke up after the op and in the ICU and thinking, oh my goodness, I've had an operation on my head and am I going to die? I really wasn't sure if I was going to die. I didn't know
what was happening.
I knew it was serious. I knew that something was wrong. I remember praying. I was so weak. I was really, I couldn't move. I couldn't even lift an arm and the drugs. And I just thought, I'm going to die. Is it my time? And I remember just praying. I said to God, is it my time? Am I going to die? I've got a faith and it's tested at times like these. Your faith is tested. And I just felt an amazing peace come over me and just felt a presence, a voice in my head said, you're going to be fine. That was the first op. I was in hospital for a month altogether. I didn't actually sleep for 2 weeks because they wake you up every 2 hours.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep. I'm used to quiet and I just could not sleep and it was uncomfortable. I was sweating. I was also allergic to lidocaine, violently allergic. I had two incidences where they took the tubes out of my head and they inject you with lidocaine to dull the pain. And I passed out. My eyes rolled back in my head and passed out twice. And they found out that I had an allergy to that. I did have complications. I had some leakage from my nose and I had to wear this great big thing on my nose, which made me look delirious. And the other thing, prayer again. They were saying, you'll have to have a shunt. And I thought, I don't want this. And I had people at church praying for me and I knew they were praying for me. My husband was praying and said, I know that this is going to clear up. It's going to clear up on its own. He actually got a picture while he was praying of my eye and the fluid behind my eye and it's going to dry up. I know. About 3 days later, it cleared up. They booked me for MRI and it just miraculously went. So that's the second miracle that happened. And they were making me put my head between my knees because they couldn't believe why it cleared up. They were like, this shouldn't have happened. And I said, you're wasting your time. It's going to go.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to be positive, not denying the truth. I know the power of prayer. I know I've got so many stories. I think God's got a brilliant sense of humor for a start. He put me next to an atheist, an 83-year-old atheist. And she was a Mensa member. Her IQ was like 180, very intelligent, funny lady. So we used to have these amazing discussions because she'd been brought up with religion. And I said, it's not about religion. Religion puts people off of God. And we'd have these amazing discussions. She was a very funny lady. And we was in hysterics. Although it was a time of pain, there was some joy. It was the worst time of my life, but the best time. And that people look at me and think, you're mad. And I used to say, if I had to go through it again, I would. And they can't understand because what I actually got from that experience and what it's made me now. I wouldn't be doing a lot of the things I'm doing now. I wouldn't have met you. And everything happens for a reason, yeah. And we don't always understand why. But it's made me stronger. Mm. It's deepened my faith. It's made me the person who I am. It's given me opportunities that I wouldn't normally have. And it makes you appreciate every day that it is a gift. For me, life is a gift and I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste my time. And I want to help others. I want to encourage others that there is hope. Don't always believe doctors because they don't know everything. Never give up. Always positivity, attitude. Try and be positive. You're not denying things are bad, but you can change the way you think. You have power over your mind. Mm-hmm. Believe in positivity. And we don't have to accept all the negative stuff. It's up to you if you choose to accept it or not. Be around people who lift you up and encourage you. Yeah. And sometimes it's painful because you have to get rid of the ones that are negative. And I choose to be around people who uplift me and encourage me. The miracle is the 80% of the tumor they removed, the 20% left has disappeared. It's gone. No radiotherapy, prayer.
And you've got no tumor now whatsoever?
Nothing. Tumor free. And that is something you can't explain. You can't. It is a miracle. And I know it's prayer. I know it was an answer to prayer. I had people praying for me, lifting me up in prayer. And it obviously made a difference because here I am. And I know I've got things to do. Like you was going to ask me, the future holds. Mm. I don't know all of it, but the experience you go through is for a reason. You've been through this, but you're doing this now. I wouldn't have met you. This wouldn't have come to be. I believe in fate. I don't believe in coincidence at all. Mm. Everything God uses in our life, the good and the bad, and we don't always understand why there's bad, but I choose to be positive. I have a mantra. My rules for life is always treat others the way you want to be treated, which make the world a better place if everybody did it. That is number one, which is from the Bible. It says, do unto others as
do unto you.
Give more than you receive. I think if you give in life and give to others, it's a principle. It will come back. Yeah. Just say what goes around comes
what you
around.
Reap,
what you reap. You, and the most mean people, the most greedy people aren't people. People can have not much money, but they can still have a giving attitude. You give and it makes people happy. Happiness comes from giving, I believe. It's not just holding on to things. Be slow to judge and quick to love. Have an attitude of gratitude. So be positive. Your attitude determines. I always say you can get bitter or better. And I choose to not let things make me bitter because it's me that suffers. It's not the person. If someone does you harm, it's not them that's going to suffer. If you carry the bitterness, you're the one that's going to carry it for the rest of your life. They could go on with life not caring, but it's you that's going to. There's a reason why we should forgive. And it isn't easy. Sometimes
it's hard.
There's many a time I've had to let something go and I haven't wanted to do it. And God's enabled me to do it. I think I could that person or
smack him in the face.
I could.
In your mind.
By forgiving, it's a principle. It's made me. It's lifted something off of me. Forgive easily. That's it. Forgive. Mm. Don't bear grudges. Life's too short. And live each moment to the full. Take it every day as a gift. And there's always someone worse off than you. No matter what you're dealt in life, there's people out there. I've met some amazing people through Meningioma UK. She was the lady who I first contacted when I was diagnosed and basically felt so alone because there was no after treatment. It was,
they don't tell you, do they? They don't give you a little booklet.
I was just dumped at home and basically it was my husband. I couldn't even puff the sofa up. I had blurred, I had double vision. So I remember saying to my friend, Jan, she came to visit me and I said, oh my goodness, one's bad enough. Now I've got two of you. Everything was double and my heightened sense of smell. Because I knew someone had been in my brain. I knew someone had been tampering around. And I remember everything like overload.
Yeah.
Everything, the smell, the sights, I couldn't. Watched television, I had to put dark glasses on.
You were in a wheelchair. Was that because of your eyes?
No, because of the weakness. I couldn't. You're just so exhausted. And I think I just couldn't wait to go out and get my own shopping because I've got two men at home. They're brilliant. They were both absolutely fantastic. Mm. They both supported me. But it's the independence. I was just so frustrated with myself that I couldn't do anything. My sense of direction is not very good. I just get lost. I can't remember directions. If someone says go there, turn left, and I've forgotten it by the time they've done a couple of directions. I'm lost.
Were you working before when all this happened?
Yeah, I was working for the NHS and in a care home with very physically handicapped people. It's closed now. Mm. I was actually made redundant I've got more time now to do other things. But yeah, I was working. They were very good. I must admit, they gave me 6 months half pay.
Well, some companies are amazing.
They supported me.
Yeah, because not all of them do.
They did support me. They were fine. They give me a phase return and the usual. They were pretty, pretty good. But I was so exhausted. It takes a long time. It took me 1 year to the day to go back to work.
So also the things that you now have since you've had the brain tumour removed is you have aching on the back of your
neck. The scar tissue, obviously, on my neck. If I'm tired, it aches. Other than that, I'm very fortunate. I get eye ache. If I don't listen to my body, it's just knowing the signs.
Your body tells you. Is it on one eye that you've had it, or is it both are
affected? Both eyes will hurt. They'll throb. If I don't sleep and I'm tired, then I've just got, it's like you get fatigued. I've just got to sleep. I'll just have to lay down. Otherwise, it will get worse. That's all that I've got really is the tiredness, which is so easy to cope with because I'm not working. If I was working, it would be difficult. Yeah. I couldn't do full-time work. I know I couldn't. I could, because I get so tired.
Yeah.
If I've done something and I've been away or done something and it's made me really tired, I just know I can sleep. I can actually catch up. I am no tumour, no medications, nothing.
Linda, thank you.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Yes,
really
it has.
I really enjoyed myself.
Thank you.
This is the Auntie M Brain Tumours Talk Show. It's a show full of informative chat and inspirational messages. The Auntie M Brain Tumours Talk Show on podcast.